spirit seems to me more a one that engages, again, those kind of instinctive yearnings that we know there's more to it than this. We know there is real goodness, and we know there's real compassion. We know there's real wisdom, and those can be engaged in an infinite number of ways.
It's Richard Gere, actor, and as far as I can tell, a Buddhist, talking about the world of the spirit. We're going to be hearing a little bit from Richard Gere here in the first hour of Issues, Etc. Some open lines to start off this Tuesday's program. Richard Gere will, by the way, be playing a religion professor in a new movie called Be Season. And I guess just giving some of his religious viewpoints. Well, he'll have a few more of them, especially about his Christian upbringing. He was raised, he thinks, a Methodist. And what he thinks about the exclusive claims of Jesus Christ, if Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation, how he raises his own kids as a Buddhist father. Are his children Buddhist? Well, we'll find out. We're going to be listening to some Richard Gere here during the first hour. I'd like your reaction to some of these things that Richard Gere has to say. It's open lines 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. That'll go about 25 minutes here for the first part of the program. And then we're going to start a sermon review this Tuesday on the program. Robert Schuller, the Younger, a sermon on getting God's vision. And after listening to this sermon, I think it's pretty fair to say it's getting close to budget time at the Crystal Cathedral. He starts out talking about God's vision, ends up talking about God's money. Actually, your money that belongs to God and why God is holding out on you. It's real simple. You're holding out on Him. God holds that on you because you hold out on Him. We'll hear that sermon from the Hour of Power from 3:30 to 4:30. Do a little sermon review, stopping and starting, and getting your reaction as well. And then, something we intended to get to yesterday, just didn't have time. NBC did a very short little piece on a new trend in churches. Just seems like the trends come and go. While many churches are getting bigger, bigger, and bigger, there is a trend in the church towards smaller and smaller. It's called the micro church. We'll find out what NBC News had to say about that and get your reaction. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. A little later in the program, Christian burnout will be our subject as we talk with Dr. John Eckridge, founder and director of Grace Place Lutheran Retreats. Christians do have a tendency to burn out in their various vocations. Are Christians' vocations, the callings that we have been given by God, an excuse to neglect ourselves and, in particular, our health and our bodies? We'll talk about that. And then Dr. Nathan Jastrom joins us. Today, the church remembers Old Testament saint Noah. Was he a myth? Just a story, a fanciful story, to warn people about what might happen if they allowed their sin to go unbridled? Noah and his ark will talk about that in the last half hour of Issues, Etc. Again, our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Well, Richard Gere has never been quiet about his political viewpoints and now his religious viewpoints. He is a Buddhist. He has spent quite a bit of time, as far as I can tell, studying Buddhism. I think he's had a few meetings with the Dalai Lama. He wasn't always a Buddhist, however. Richard Gere, like so many, was raised in a Christian church and has reasons for why he has rejected the Christian faith in favor of Buddhism. Although, if you listen to the audio we're going to play for you, it's pretty clear that Gere does not see his Buddhism as mutually exclusive with the faith of his childhood. If he ever had that faith, he says it questions. Plaguing questions that were never answered by his church are what eventually drove him away from the Christian faith. But first, here's Richard Gere. He's starring in a new movie called Be Season, playing a religion professor. He says he was raised in a church-going family.
My father was almost a minister, and he was always really close to the church, and it was a Methodist church with him. My mother was a Presbyterian, I think. But we went to Methodist churches. I remember the singing more than anything, and the sense of joy and creativity in singing hymns.
You know, I was wondering when I was listening to this, Richard Gere sounds like, he sounds like so many people do. You know, there's this term out there floating around called the unchurched, this demographic, this group of people, and I've never had it adequately explained to me what the unchurched are, whether or not they're unbelievers or whether or not they're people who just haven't been to church for a while, or people like Richard Gere who have vague childhood memories of being raised in a church. They remember him singing. That's one of the things. But very little else about what the Christian faith is all about. One of the things that constantly mystifies me, and maybe you will hear this too in Gere's comments, is how someone can be raised in a church-going family and yet miss almost entirely the point. Now, a lot of it depends on what kind of church your church-going family went to. Here again is Richard Gere. He says that the Methodist Church didn't answer his persistent childhood questions.
My own personality wanted to know why. Where did the universe come from? Where does evil come from? You know, the kind of basic questions a kid looks around and goes, well, what's the deal? And I wasn't finding that within the religion that I grew up in.
Now, was he not finding the answers? Was no one answering those questions? Where did we come from? Where did the universe come from? Where did evil come from? Or were they not the answers that he wanted to hear? That's not altogether clear. Although, tell you the truth, it doesn't surprise me. We review a lot of sermons here on Issues, etc. How often have you heard even those basic questions answered in a typical sermon reviewed here on the program? Where did evil come from? Is evil even a factor in a lot of these sermons? It doesn't surprise me that he could go to church with a very devout father and apparently an equally devout mother and never have those questions answered. So here's Richard Gere again. He says he doesn't believe that Jesus is the only way.
This feeling that there is one God and all others are blasphemous and need to be destroyed, converted, transformed in some way. Everyone else is off. We got the truth. I never heard that growing up. So I don't think it's an innate part of Christianity.
Golly, I so expected him to say, I heard that growing up and I decided that was wrong. That it just threw me for a loop when he said he never heard that growing up as a Christian. He never heard growing up that there is one God and all other gods are blasphemous. He didn't hear that. Now, I'm beginning to wonder what kind of church Richard Gere went to. He didn't have questions of evil answered for him or the origins of the world answered for him. He liked the hymn singing, but and never heard that there was but one God and one way of salvation. Well, he went to a Methodist church. Now, not every Methodist church would so glaringly omit so many basic things in the Christian faith, but maybe little Richard wasn't paying attention. I mean, a lot of little kids don't pay attention in church. It's amazing what our kids will miss. And pastors, this is a good lesson for you. Let's say for the sake of argument that Richard Gere's childhood Methodist church was really preaching the truth insofar as Methodists can do it. And answering all these questions and making a clear claim that Jesus is the only way of salvation for all men. But that little Richard simply wasn't paying attention and missed it. It's a lesson for pastors, isn't it? That just because people sit there and nod during church, sometimes nodding out of sleep and sometimes nodding in Bible class, does not mean they agree with you. Doesn't mean they're even hearing you. Doesn't even mean that they're even getting what you're saying. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. I'd like your reaction to what Richard Gere has to say here about his childhood upbringing in the Christian church, in the Methodist church. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. So Gere is now quite famously a Tibetan Buddhist. But he has children of his own now. I don't know, Buddhists do go to temple. I don't know if he takes his kids to temple, but he says he doesn't force his Buddhist faith on his own children.
They can experience it. I mean, it's around us. We have teachers around us all the time. They've met the Dalai Lama. They certainly see me practicing all the time. But it's never, I don't lay down any rules. We don't recite things together. We do our prayers. You know, I do night prayers with my son.
pretty much like most Christian parents, I would say. Oh, yeah, I mean, the pastor occasionally say hello to him, shake his hand as we walk out of church, but we're going to let our kids decide for themselves. We wouldn't want to impose anything on them that we believe to be true. This is amazing. His children have met the Dalai Lama. You know who the Dalai Lama is? He is the spiritual descendant of the Buddha. He is, in many ways, he's not the incarnation of Buddha, but he is considered to be, as much as there can be in Tibetan Buddhism, the voice of the divine in the world. The voice of the Buddha. His children have met the Dalai Lama. But he's not going to impose his Tibetan faith, his Buddhist faith, on his kids. It's Open Lines, Issues, etc. Getting your reaction to these Richard Gere cuts. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I like your thoughts on this. I mean, besides the fact that we have yet another Hollywood star opining on something simply because he is a celebrity or simply because he's going to play a religion professor in a movie, he's simply speaking for himself. And it seems to me he is saying things that a lot of average people would say. Raised in the church, didn't make a lot of sense to me, didn't answer all my questions. I remember the hymn singing. It wasn't an altogether unpleasant memory. And now I'm something else. And whatever that something else I am now, I'm not going to impose that on my kids. Finally, here's Richard Gere again. He says he doesn't believe in God or in organized religion.
The world of spirit seems to me more a one that engages, again, those kind of instinctive yearnings that we know there's more to it than this. We know there is real goodness, and we know there's real compassion. We know there's real wisdom. And those can be engaged in an infinite number of ways.
Except that way that says, he talked about it earlier, there is one God exclusive of all others. That is not a way, according to Richard Gere, that you can engage that something more than this that's in the universe. Somehow Richard Gere is a baby boomer. There's no doubt about this. It's amazing to me that when baby boomers have these spiritual epiphanies, they always come in the form of, there's something bigger than me in the universe. It's always this kind of first commandment moment that they have where they realize they're not God. Oh, there must be something bigger than me. I can't be all there is to this universe. I know I'd like to be, and I know that I act like there is, but there must be something bigger. Odd for Richard Gere that his religion of choice is one that denies that there is anything bigger. Buddhism in itself is a denial of both self and of God. It's an embrace of nothingness. That's where nirvana lies, is a complete embrace of nothing. So he goes looking for answers. You know, he never says that Buddhism answers his questions. I mean, really, if my understanding of Buddhism is correct, you have this fivefold path, and it is essentially a path toward if the self is a candle, the goal in Buddhism is to put the candle out so that the self no longer exists. Complete unself-consciousness. And eventually one is unified entirely with that which is, which isn't much. So his childhood Christianity doesn't answer his questions, doesn't satisfy him, although he found the hymn singing entertaining. He never claims to have found the answers in Buddhism either. And it's so important to him that he does not feel the need to pass it on to his kids. I mean, sure, I'm Richard Gere. I get to meet the Dalai Lama and the kids get to come along on the plane ride. But I'm not, these ultimate questions that are out there, this life of the spirit that he talks about, I mean, it's good stuff, but it's not important enough to pass it along to my children. as I said, not that different from a lot of Christians. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. This is, by the way, let's say for the sake of argument, that you were allowed to participate in, celebrities are doing this now a little bit more, the internet has made it possible, you were allowed to participate in an online chat with Richard Gere as part of a promotion for his new movie. Let's say he's promoting his movie, BC's, and he's going to be playing a religion professor, and he's going to be answering fans' questions and as a part of the promotion. You were allowed to do this. What would you ask Richard Gere? He is admittedly one of those seekers out there, isn't he? Thinks he's found the answer? You might even call him the unchurched. What would you say to him? What would you ask him? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. 10 minutes left in open lines. I see the lines are filling up, so please call now. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Then coming up in about 15 minutes, we're going to be starting our review of Robert Schuller's latest sermon from the Hour of Power, preaching on God's vision. He's got all sorts of Bible passages all over the place. And man, I tell you what, if there have been a few sermons that I would classify as worst sermon ever, this one, as I was sitting in my office thinking and listening to it, came close. Mighty close. It's coming up in about 15 minutes. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Ann is up first, calling from her car. Hi, Ann.
Hi. I also grew up in the Methodist Church, and I'm a few years older than Richard Gere, so my small Methodist church was still pretty John Wesley and very Bible-based. However, the Methodist church that I went to here in St. Louis in the 70s actually took the Bible out of the Sunday school classrooms and didn't teach it. So I think it was a very confusing time, because the Methodist church has embraced more of a open hearts, open doors, instead of the path to Jesus Christ now. And so it's been very troubling for me.
What are you now, Ann?
Well, I still attend the Methodist Church because we have a small group of about 50 people who are study the Bible, and we feel that God is keeping us there. It keeps us pretty grounded. And we have worked out our own study programs. Most of us are involved in outside study groups such as Bible Study Fellowship and Community Bible Study.
And would you say, Ann, that that your little group, your little congregation there in the Methodist Church is the exception now, in generally speaking, for Methodism?
Yes, I have found that other Methodists who come from other churches that are very successful, that are not losing memberships, are ones that do not, that are very Bible-based Methodist churches, and there are a few of them in the United States, and they are really John Wesley, literally based Bible-studying churches.
Ann, thank you for the call. You know, that's what I was thinking when I was listening to Richard Gere, is he says he started out as a Methodist, and now he's a Buddhist. And for many, especially United Methodist churches, how far they have drifted from John Wesley. Gere could go back and probably find not that much in conflict with his Tibetan Buddhist religion now in the Methodist Church. I'm sure he would be welcomed with open arms and open hearts by the Methodist Church, by so many of them. Up next, Kurt calls from his car. Hi, Kurt. Kurt, welcome. All right, let's talk with Kathy in St. Charles. Line 3, if you would, Gary. Kathy, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I wanted to comment on when you were talking about Richard Gere and how he doesn't want to push his faith, or whatever he calls it, on his kids. I think we see that a lot of times in the church today, particularly after the kids are catechized in the Lutheran church. It just seems like they let the kids decide whether or not they're going to go to church. I don't know. I don't know people's conversations. I haven't directly talked to people. I'm just observing when I go to church that a teen, it seems like a teen presence is a lot of times not there. Or if it's there, they have to do something special. They can't just, you know, enjoy the specialty of, you know, the wonderful liturgy and the wonderful hymns. They've got to, you know, do something else. And I just think it's sad.
You point out something very important, Kathy, and that is that whether or not a parent will say, look, I'm going to let my kid decide for themselves, in practical terms, that's what so many Christian parents actually do after a certain age. After, I like to call it the spanking age. After the spanking age, the kids don't go to church. Now, it's not because the parents don't want them to go to church. And most of those kids are at home. I mean, they're not walking the streets on Sunday morning. Most of them are sleeping in, getting up, watching some television, waiting for mom and dad to get home from church. Now, those parents are never going to say, well, I just let my kid decide for himself what he's going to believe. But by letting their kids stay home from church, even after the spanking age, that's exactly what they're doing. Or some of them say, look, I send this kid to a Christian school 5 days a week, and they take care of the religion stuff, and why burden them again with yet another hour of religion on Sunday morning? I don't see a big difference between that and Richard Gere saying, you know, I don't push my religion on my kids. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Ann calls from St. Louis. Hi, Ann.
Hi. I just wanted to say the thing about the Richard Gere, to just make a comment on that.
Sure.
It seems like he's got a lot of emphasis on himself. I found this and that. And from my perspective, I didn't find anything. Christ found me. And I think that he's just so confused as to the dynamics of who's doing what, that it's just too bad somebody can't really talk to him about that. And maybe he just needs to listen to your radio station more and learn more.
Yeah, fat chance, Ann. Yeah. Thank you very much. But you know, the church is catering to that right now, to the Richard Gere mindset. That is the new modus operandi in the church, is to cater to the Richard Gere mindset. Look, these people are self-centered. Just go with the flow. Come on. I mean, human beings in the 21st century in America are self-centered. Rather than fight it, let's just go along with it. And so you can walk into a Christian church and you can sing. It won't be Richard Gere, but you can sing songs that are just full of first-person pronouns, either singular or plural. I, and we, and all the emphasis gets put on me. And I found, and I did, and I love, and I worship, and I adore. Again, I don't see a big difference between that and what Richard Gere says. Except that Richard Gere says it is a Buddhist, and the others, at least in theory, are saying it is Christians. We'll be right back.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Here's what Issues Etc. regular guests are saying about Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions, a reader's edition to the Book of Concord. Matt Harrison says, this edition of the Concordia, with its magnificent illustrations, paintings, notes, and other useful study materials, will make hearts burn with passion for the clear, pure gospel. Dr. Norman Nagel says, the small catechism is a good start, but there is so much more here to nourish, deepen, and defend our faith. And Dr. Beverly Yonke says, Concordia is an essential companion for everyone who owns a Bible. Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions, is our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November. You can find out more at our website at issuesetc.org. Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions, is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Equipping the priesthood of all believers. Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
It's vital you pray for Saudi Arabia. This Global Minute asks you to pray for Christ's news to spread despite severe persecution. Saudi Arabia has police who focus their efforts on cracking down on people who follow any religions other than Islam. The harsh measures were once only used against Saudi citizens, but now more foreigners are targets. During the summer months, 9 Indians who were Christians were arrested, and in the spring, police raided a home where a church service was being held. All the Christians arrested were from outside Saudi Arabia. A report on the website Christians in Crisis states the situation has grown worse since King Abdullah has taken power. This has stopped groups from meeting in private homes to pray. Pray Christians will be strengthened and will spread the gospel in Saudi Arabia despite barriers. You can get involved in missions. Start with prayer using information on missionvisionnetwork.org. That's missionvisionnetwork.org.
The Meyer Minute is underwritten by the North St. Louis County Chapter of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, including Salem Lutheran Church on Parker Road and Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd on Outer Shell.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute. Has the Grinch stolen Christmas? Christmas shopping has become holiday shopping. Christmas trees have become holiday trees, and I'm told that the post office has discontinued Madonna and Child Christmas stamps. More examples abound. It's a cultural development that disturbs many Christians. When Elijah was depressed by the religious culture of his day, God told him there were still 7,000 believers left in Israel. There are more than 7,000 in America today, and some are business people who are keeping Christ in Christmas. Mr. Wally Bronner owns the world's largest Christmas store in Frankenmuth, Michigan, Bronner's Christmas Wonderland. And if you saw his sign, he capitalizes Christ. With every purchase from Bronner's, you get a Christian tract. Over 1 million are handed out each year, with only a few letters of protest. Rhonda Sanders of the Flint Journal asked Mr. Bronner why he does it. "If I'm a Christian," he said, "I should be willing to live the message. Wherever there is a Christian, there is a missionary. Wherever there is a missionary, there is a mission field." Romans 10:10 says, "It is with your heart you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth you confess and are saved." To a missionary, happy holidays may be an invitation to conversation. Perhaps the Grinch will repent.
Issues Etc. is underwritten in part locally by Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Crestwood. Prince of Peace is located at 8646 New Sappington Road in Crestwood. The Reverend Mark Smith is the pastor. Their phone number, 314-843-8448, or visit them on the web at popl.church.org. Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Crestwood, an Issues Etc. underwriter on AM 850 KFUO.
This feeling that there is one God and all others are blasphemous and need to be destroyed, converted, transformed in some way. Everyone else is off. We got the truth. I never heard that growing up, so I don't think it's an innate part of Christianity.
Richard Gere again, talking about his Christian upbringing. Now he's a Tibetan Buddhist, and what he didn't hear when he was growing up in a Christian church. I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're reacting to some of the statements made by actor Richard Gere on his various religious beliefs and opinions. Our call-in number is 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. You've heard a regular guest here on the program, Dr. Martin Nolan. I was just going to mention him, by the way, because a big question hanging over this whole conversation of Richard Gere, who starts out a Methodist and then ends up a Buddhist, is how do you go from John Wesley to where the Methodist Church is now? Have you ever read John Wesley? How do you go from that to what Methodism is now? I mean, it can't simply be the drag of culture on a church. There has to be some seed in that theology. Well, we talked recently about pietism with Dr. Martin Nolan. You'll have an opportunity to meet one of these regular guests, Dr. Martin Nolan, Thursday on the program. We're going to be broadcasting live from Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois. Also, Dr. Fred Bowie, who's the pastor there at Bethany, and others will have refreshments and lots of Issues Etc. resources broadcasting live. You come and watch the live broadcast there at Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois. We'll be giving away all sorts of resources to those who are there listening in our audience. You can come watch the show. You don't have to come for all 3 hours. You can just come and go as you please. Starts at the regular 3 o'clock and runs until 5:45 at Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois. It's on Old Collinsville Road. Old Collinsville Road this Thursday, starting at 3:05 at Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois. A live remote broadcast of Issues, Etc. Well, Robert Schuller is, and here we're talking about the younger Robert Schuller, is preaching this week on God's vision. What is God's vision? What does God see? What does God want? I've listened to a lot of Schuller sermons, and this one will stand out for me, at least for the time being. This one's going to stand out. And it might, not to prejudice you before the fact, but it might be a contender for worst sermon that we've ever reviewed here on Issues, Etc. But listen, using our three-part diagnostic, listen for whether or not Jesus gets mentioned in Robert Schuller's sermon from the Hour of Power. That's part one of our three-part diagnostic as we review these sermons. Is Jesus mentioned? If Jesus is mentioned, then is he the subject of the verbs? That is Jesus driving the action? Is he driving the verbs? Is the preacher telling you what Jesus has done, is doing, will do, or are you the subject of the verbs, or someone else the subject of the verbs? Now, if Jesus isn't mentioned, you can be pretty sure that the sermon has nothing to do with Jesus. It might be about you or something or someone else, but it's not about Jesus. It's hard to say it's a Christ-centered sermon if Jesus doesn't even get mentioned. Is he the subject of the verbs? Well, if he is, then ask yourself this third question, part three of our sermon review diagnostic. What are the verbs? If Jesus is mentioned and he's the subject of the verbs, what is the preacher telling you that Jesus has done, is doing, will do for you? Are they the verbs of Scripture? That Jesus forgives, that Jesus shows mercy, that Jesus redeems, saves, suffers, and dies for you? Or are they the verbs of the psychiatrist's couch? Jesus enables, empowers, inspires, and motivates. Just a word here before we begin Robert Schuller's sermon on the diagnostic. You know, we've been using this diagnostic review sermons for about 2 years now, maybe even a little bit more. And the one criticism I hear on a regular basis, sometimes from the oddest places, is that this standard is too high. We've heard it from regular people we've interviewed on the program. We've interviewed Ted Haggard, and who else did? It was Greg Laurie that we interviewed as well. And I think someone else that we interviewed, one of these big names that we interviewed, I asked them, here's our three-part diagnostic that we use to review sermons. What do you think of it? What do you think of it? And almost to a person, I think to a person, they've said, well, you know, I think it's a good tool, but I think it's asking a little too much of every sermon to mention Jesus, to have Jesus driving the subject, being the subject of the verbs, and have those verbs be the verbs of Scripture. In other words, it's asking too much for the sermon to be Christ-centered, cross-focused. And that's the common criticism. I get it from listeners, too, who say after a sermon review that it depends on whose ox is getting gored. But when I do a sermon review of someone that they like, they'll say, even St. Paul wouldn't live up to your standards of what a sermon should be. Jesus wouldn't live up to your standards of what a sermon should be. I reviewed a sermon by Father Patrick Henry Reardon recently, heard from a listener who said, look, your standard is too stringent for sermons. Now, this is a person who listens regularly, and my response was, so if the cross doesn't have to be the center of the sermon that we just reviewed, does it have to be the center of any of the sermons we reviewed? Is this an unreasonable thing to ask? And I've asked this many times on the air. Am I asking too much that when a preacher steps into the pulpit, he proclaims Christ and Him crucified for sinners? Well, let's see if Robert Schuller does on the Hour of Power. He's preaching on God's vision.
Today I want to share with you a little bit about God's vision. Have you ever thought of that? What was God's vision? Very simply this. love, joy, and peace. People say, well, he's male. Look at the world. Where's the peace? There's war, there's struggles, there's problems, Prozac, oh, it's a billion-dollar industry. Where's the joy and the happiness? God's vision, your mission. Your mission is this. Very clear. Couldn't have been clearer. Jesus was asked, what is the commandments? And he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest of commandments. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's your mission. God's vision, your mission. God has not failed. God continues to succeed every day. He succeeds when we embrace the commands that he has given to us and we love. He could have made humanity a bunch of robots without the freedom to choose to love or not to love, but he chose to give us the freedom to choose whether we're going to love or not love. And as a result of that, there are people who unfortunately have chosen not to love. And as a result, we have war today. We have people who do not understand the joy and the beauty of God. I'll never forget a time my father and I were sitting in an airport in Turkey. This was probably 25, 30 years ago. And I don't even remember what city it was. It was an obscure little place in Turkey. And we were sitting in this airport lobby, and as we sat there, we saw these fighter jets come and land. It was pretty exciting because they come through and they just have these afterburners that glow and burn, and it's pretty exciting seeing these things land. And my father said, you know, it's really sad that we have to have those instruments of war. Well, I said, it is. Love is nothing that can be dictated. God cannot create a world of love and say, you will love me or else. Never be love at all. But love is a choice. And in this choice, we see our mission as children of God, people who are called and created by the Creator. We understand what our mission is all about. It's very clear. We read it in the Bible. It is known as the greatest commandment, Matthew 22. Jesus said specifically, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself.
At this point, I don't know what to do with it. He's mentioned Jesus three times. Now, that's a good start. At least he mentioned Jesus. That's maybe a first in the Schuller sermons we've reviewed between him and his dad. It may be the first where Jesus gets mentioned. Jesus, the first time he mentions him is Jesus was asked, then Jesus said, and then Jesus said. So Jesus is the subject of the verbs twice, and what Jesus is doing is telling us something. Here, and this is pretty consistent with what his dad said when we interviewed him sometime back on the program, Jesus is the new Moses. Jesus is here basically just to clarify the law. Moses gave us the law the first time. We didn't get it, so Jesus came to kind of make sure we got it. And so he quotes Jesus here. This is a legitimate quote of Jesus. He says, that's God's vision. It's our mission. And it's very simple, he says. Just a choice. You can make this choice. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Very simple. Very easy. All you have to do is do it. So Jesus is the new Moses. He's the new lawgiver. And he's come just to clear up this little detail that we didn't seem to be getting, which is love. And if we could, there would be no war. And all the other nasty things that go along with man's inability. Well, no, wait a minute. With the Schulers, it's never inability. The man has decided not to. It's not that he can't. It's just that he's decided not to love. So God's vision for us is that we love him with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind, and that we love our neighbor as ourselves. And you know what? Schuller's exactly right. That's not just God's vision. I mean, that's not just God. He didn't sit there and dream about this at night, that, oh, how I dream, how I wish, how I hope that they love me and that they love each other. This is more than just God's vision. This is God's command. See, Jesus doesn't talk about it in terms of a vision. He talks about it in terms of commandments. And there's no doubt about it. This is the command of God. These are the two commandments upon which all commandments hang. Love for God, a perfect heart, from a pure heart, love for God, and a perfect, from a pure heart, love for the neighbor. Now all you have to do is do it. What if we don't? Well, Robert Schuller has already pointed out one result if we don't. We have war, and we need fighter planes. So fighter planes landing in Turkey are a result of us not loving each other. But if we could, we wouldn't need the fighter planes. Is this what Scripture teaches? There's no doubt about it. He has rightly quoted Jesus. And God's command is that we love him from a pure heart and love our neighbor as ourselves. You see, here's the problem. Is this God's vision or is it God's command? And if it's God's command, God does expect us to do it. You know, Schuller said there, well, love can't be compelled. God can't say, I'm God and you must love me. Yeah, he can. And he has. He expects us to. And when we do not, it's not just called us not living up to our potential or deciding not to love. It's called sin. See, it's another little rule of thumb you can use when you're listening to a sermon. What's my problem? What is the problem the preacher is diagnosing? And what is the solution that he offers? So, let's just give Robert Schuller the benefit of the doubt here that he has, at least in some sense, rightly diagnosed our problem. We don't love God. We don't love our neighbor. So, what's the solution?
God's vision? It's love, joy, peace, goodness. Your mission is to love God and love your neighbor. God's vision, your mission. Why do we fail? Why do we fail to fulfill the calling that God has given to us and to simply love one another? You know, I think that the clearest way to understand it is the fact that we just don't understand. We don't have enough faith. We just don't have enough belief in the goodness of God. Like the cement driver. This guy got up early and he left for work. And it was one of those days where there just wasn't any traffic. So he got to work exceptionally early. And being at work early is at the front of the line. So he got his truck and he got in line. And he got the truck filled with the cement. And he found out he was an hour early for his job. He also realized that he was going to go right past his home on his way to the job site to dump his cement. So he decided, well, this is perfect. I'll stop home. I'll see my wife. So he pulls in front of his house, and all of a sudden he gets a little nervous. In his driveway, he sees a brand new BMW convertible parked in the driveway. Huh. What's going on here? So he goes and he looks through the window and he sees his wife. And she's embracing a man with a nice suit on. And she's holding a bouquet of roses. And she looked far too excited to see this gentleman. So the truck driver is very upset. He has fire going through his veins and ice going through him at the same time. And he simply does what cement drivers do. And he moved and pulled that truck right behind that BMW. And he swung that chute right over the front seat, and he dumped his load. And that BMW filled with cement. Just as he finished, he looked at the front door, and there was his wife. She was standing there, her mouth open. Standing next to her was the gentleman with the suit. In her right hand, she held her bouquet of roses. And the other, a plaque which said, Prize Patrol. Prize Patrol was the sign she was holding. The suspicion, the lack of faith, the conceived ideas that go on in our mind tear us apart and destroy the bounty and the beauty of the goodness that God has for us. And today we say, I want to do God's will. How many people want to do God's will today? How many people, if you knew what God wanted you to do, would say, I promise I'll do it. I promise to do it. If I just knew what God's will was for my life, I would do it. We just don't always know what God's will for our life is.
See, this is his solution. Well, actually, this isn't a solution. He's still diagnosing the problem. Robert Schuller says, and he said it several times already with his little illustration about the cement truck driver, why don't we do what God's will is? And he says, because we don't know God's will. So he asks this rhetorical question of his listeners, if you knew what God's will is, how many of you would promise to do it and do it? And I'm sure everyone there at the Crystal Cathedral are nodding their heads saying, I would. If I knew what God's will was, then I would do it. Sure. Just tell me what God's will is and I'll do it. A lot like Israel, I seem to remember from the Old Testament. Before any of the real nastiness begins, they come into the land and they renew the covenant that had been made at Sinai. Joshua is now their leader. And they say, whatever the Lord has commanded, we will do. Whatever the Lord has commanded, we will do. And Joshua makes it very plain to them. He says, look, I'm setting before you here life and death, blessing and curse. Here's the covenant. It is life. You break the covenant. It is death. And they say, everything the Lord has commanded, we will do. They know what God wants. They promise to do it. Have you read beyond that point in the Old Testament? What is their history? I mean, they were determined. They knew what God wanted. God put it down very clearly, very specifically, no doubt about it. Anytime they were in doubt, anytime that they had a memory lapse, they could simply check and see what God expected of them. They knew, but they didn't do. Our problem is not ignorance. It's not that we simply don't understand or that we don't know what God's will is. In fact, St. Paul tells us quite the opposite in the book of Romans. He says we are without excuse. Those who have the law, that is the written law of God, the Old Testament people of God, they sin under the law. And those who don't have it, the rest of us, the Gentiles by descent, we sin without the law. In fact, Paul says we show by our actions that and our, by our conscience that the law is in fact not just written on tablets of stone, but written on our hearts. And he says the Gentiles are a law unto themselves because they have the law written in their hearts. And then he ends the whole discourse by saying, therefore, you are without excuse, O man. There are no excuses. Ignorance is an excuse. Robert Schuller hasn't given his listeners a reason that they don't do God's will. He's given them excuse for why they don't do God's will. And there's a big difference. See, when you're not going to preach sin, when that word, and in the Schuller, in the world of the Schullers and the Hour of Power in the Crystal Cathedral, the word sin is not used. He made this very clear when we interviewed the elder Schuller some time back. Sin is a word that turns people off. So he doesn't use it, nor does his son. And if you won't use that word, then you're left with nothing but excuses. Is it that we don't know? No, we know what it is. We don't do. Our problem is deeper than ignorance, far deeper than ignorance. It is the one thing that the Schullers will not mention. It is our sin. So sooner or later here, he's going to get to a solution for all of this. Can you figure out what it might be in advance? I mean, let's just take a guess. If God has a vision for our life, and that is that we love Him from a pure heart and love our neighbor as ourselves, and we don't do it, and the reason we don't do it is because we don't know what we're supposed to do, just take a guess. What do you think His solution is going to be? What do we need? Do we need a man to come and live a perfect life in our place and to die a perfect death in our place on the cross? To pay the price for our sins? Well, see, if sin isn't our problem, then we don't need that man. And if our problem is ignorance, all we need is someone to tell us what to do. And when we come back from this break, as painful as it may seem, we will listen to the rest of Robert Schuller's sermon where he will tell us what to do. Now, we're getting toward the end of the year. I don't know what the schedule for the fiscal year at the Crystal Cathedral is, but from the rest of the sermon, you might surmise that it's budget time in Garden Grove. We're reviewing Robert Schuller's sermon on God's vision for about another 25 minutes here on Issues, Etc. Then we'll be talking about the latest trend in churches, not the big Crystal Cathedrals or the Saddlebacks or the Willow Creeks, not the mega churches, the micro churches. We'll be right back.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues, Etc., please visit the audio archive section at KFUO.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM 850 KFUO. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.